Hi there, it's Victoria here. I just wanted to let you know about some brand new pick and mix workshops I'm offering for creative business owners like you over the next few weeks. Now, if you're stressed about needing to make more sales this Christmas, then maybe you just need to upskill in some key areas to give your business that much needed boost. That's why I'm really excited to offer these targeted workshops on different marketing topics to help you up your game where you most need it. You can book on any workshop you like, and if you decide to book on three, you can get the third workshop for half price. It's my way of helping you through these tough times we're seeing right now. I believe that learning and upskilling is the best way to grow your business at times like now. So I'll be offering workshops on Christmas email strategy, formula for the perfect about page, and an introduction to Canva to help you get your brand attracting those ideal customers. You can find out more and book on by heading to the homepage of my website, thevictoriabrown.com, or just drop me an email at victoria@thevictoriabrown.com and I can drop you the link to book straight on. Let's get through this together. Are you really satisfied in your creative career? Are you doing the thing you always really wanted to do, or are you compromising somehow? Kerry Lyons is a creative business coach. Her goal is to help everyone find their true creative calling because in her experience, many creatives end up in other roles that aren't quite the perfect fit. In this episode, she tells her story and gives tips on how to get back on the right creative track if you're finding yourself unfulfilled. As a creative myself, I found this whole topic fascinating, and I hope you do too. Welcome to Creative Slurp Podcast, giving you the juice to build a successful creative business with me, Victoria Brown, a creative business advisor, former jeweler and craft fanatic. Now you're in the right place if you want to find real talk, inspiration and the best tips and strategies for your handmade business without the overwhelm. We're all about making business exciting and fun. Now buckle up and let's get started. thank you so much for joining us on the Creative Slurp podcast. And I'm just having a chuckle to myself because I've just found out that you are literally down the road from where I am, which is really, really weird.
Yeah. Nice. Those serendipitous moments of like, oh, we probably even like queued in the same supermarket queue, one behind each other.
Yeah, I love thinking about those things. Like when you meet someone, have you already walked past them so many times or seen them before? That's so
sliding doors, Gwyneth Paltrow moment.
I love sliding doors. In fact, I think I mentioned that in an email I wrote recently. Anyway, moving on. So enough digressing. Tell me about you and your business and what you do.
Thank you for having me. First of all, I feel like a real treat that I'm here. So I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity. Me and my business is a couple of avenues that I have. So the primary core of my business is a creative coaching business. So I coach high achieving creatives to essentially recover and live their true creative call. And what I mean by that is, there are so many people in the creative sphere, creative business owners, as well as creative professionals, that have kind of chosen this like compromise on what they really want to do creatively because, you know, they've opted for the sensible option, the more responsible thing to do, something that maybe their parents were like, well, this is what's going to get your bills paid, so do this. And particularly over the last couple of years, I think there's been this like fever pitch moment of like, I can't keep up this pretense anymore. But equally, there's a lot of pressure and expectation that has come with them creating a really established career in their creative field that they're in. But what they really want to do is something else within the creative industries. So I'm here helping high achieving creatives to make that transition, particularly from a real mindset point. And that's my kind of area of experience and training. And it's just the most fulfilling, amazing thing ever. Basically, because my roots are in creativity as well. And I've been in the creative industries for over 20 years. So it's like a real kind of hybrid, like I'm doing something with my hands that you can't see, but I'm like bringing my like two hands together, like this hybrid, like coming together full circle moment where my own lived experience and my kind of coaching training and coaching experience kind of come together to help these creative souls who are not getting creatively fulfilled. And it's a crime, because when creative people are fulfilled, the planet is saved, in my opinion. Yes. So that's what I do. Coaching is that part. But I also have a illustration studio that is in the process of being launched at this point in time, which is my own creative pursuit. That is my creative call. I've put on the long finger for too long. So I get it.
You're
I get it, basically.
What you preach.
I'm walking the talk. Exactly.
I find that so fascinating, because so often we hear about creative people probably stuck in a job that's completely not them at all and having to get out. But I've never really considered creative people in a creative role, but it not being the right creative role for them before. Having said that, I really it really echoes with me, because I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be an actress, and I was a performer on stage, and I worked in France, and people might not know that about me. And I really like, I love being on stage even now. And I felt really at home there. But when it came to, I gave it a little try, and when it came to it and the reality of living a life going for auditions constantly, not having a permanent job, not being able to have a mortgage, it just scared me a lot. And when it came to the crunch and I had to choose between drama school or something else, I thought, what can I do that's like that, using those skills, that's a bit safer? And I went into journalism.
So you shouldn't say these things to me, Victoria.
Yes,
because when people share these things, I'm like a dog with a bone. I'm gonna be back talking on this one, I tell
you. So I can totally resonate, but it's not something I ever considered before. And I find it really fascinating. So when did you find out that people weren't in the right creative roles for them?
Well, it's from a lived experience of my own, truly. And there was a real kind of, it didn't feel like a moment at the time, but when I kind of think back to my kind of school years, coming into university years, the like illustration was always my thing, never not doodling and drawing and illustrating from like the heart all the time. But when it came to that point, similarly, where it was like, okay, but what do I want? I want to get paid. I want to have a house. Like I kind of, all the conventional things that at that age, a lot of people are working towards. And it was like the sensible thing, the responsible way for an artist to get paid is to do graphic design. So that was the route that I took. And for many years, it was absolutely fine. And it was enjoyable. It felt satisfying. It felt like it was kind of ticking my boxes because it was bringing me to a certain, like on the life side of things, it was ticking boxes of where I wanted to go. But then there was a kind of a slow unraveling where it was like, okay, but I now have these things, but I still don't feel like the inside. And so from that realization of that compromise moment, I believe has like a shelf life. And I think what has then happened, especially over the last couple of years of this decade, with, we don't need to say what's happened over the last couple of years of this decade because it's like pecking bananas, but that process of being really forced to self-reflect and look at the life that we're living, you know, how we are prioritizing ourselves, our needs, has really come into like under the microscope. And I think it's just, it's flared up a, almost like a
rebellion.
Yeah. There's a phrase, isn't there, at the moment, called like the great resignation, which is a lot of people, if their jobs are not providing the flexibility that they now know is possible for them, they're like, well, I'm going. But I think there's also the great rebellion in the people who are potentially self-employed as well as people who are, you know, high achievers and high performers in their creative careers. They're having this acknowledgement moment of like, is this it? Like, is this as good as it gets? And yeah, I'm just this beacon to say, no, it's not. It gets better if you let it in. So it's kind of my own experience. And then through the coaching work that I've been doing over the last few years, I had the fortune of working with a number of creative business owners and really feeling like when I was with those clients, there was just a different energy, a different like buzz, a different sense of like reward and satisfaction from helping those really step into their power, really step into like what they are made to do, that made me think, okay, this is, I need to zero in on this because there's something in this that's not only firing me up, but it's actually great results are happening and great transformations are happening. So it was like I say, this kind of coming together full circle moment with my two hands coming together, like meshing. So it's, yeah, through my own discovery and then basically testing it almost in the real world, the real coaching space. And then, yeah, the clients that I have been working with specifically on this transformation, it's just been the most rewarding thing. Like, I'm crying all the time, tears of joy. And that's not even an exaggeration. It's like, yeah, it's amazing.
So your waterproof mascara bill is obviously gone.
Well, this is why I don't actually put mascara on the bottom lashes. That's my tip. I only mascara the top lashes. The bottom lashes, they stay dry.
Hot tip.
An emotional hot tip. Didn't know I was going to go into makeup tips, but here we are.
What kind of businesses are you working with then when you say creative business owners?
So there seems to be a bit of an appetite, and it might just be through my own, I guess, experience in the kind of graphic design space. But in graphic design, I think a lot of us as designers have had either that conversation with like a careers person or a family member or some kind of mentor that's gone, why don't you just do graphic design? Like, it's kind of art, but people need it. So people are going to pay for it. And therefore it's a sensible thing to do. So I tend to attract a lot of designers who are feeling that lack of creative fulfillment in what they do. Architects as well, journalists, interior designers. So it's like there's a real broad mix. And that's also what really excites me about it, because it's not just about helping one type of creative. It's becoming apparent it's a real universal, oh, that's me too. And I'm so glad I'm not alone. In fact, and someone I'm working with at the moment is in the film industry and works on like special effects on some like massive, massive productions, and helping them like reemerge as their own artist. It's just, yeah, it's magic. Yeah.
Amazing. And I'm fascinated by this idea of mindset, because I think it's behind so much of what we do. Yet it's like you say, not everybody is always on the same page. And I think that's when it gets really tricky. So like if you are younger and you're looking at what career you're going to have, you know, your mindset might be in the right place sometimes if you're working on it. But what do you do when, I don't know, the people around you, your family, or later on, I don't know, your partner or whoever else, the people around you, we're not on the same page? Because I think sometimes you can work on your mindset and get to a certain place, but if they're not working on their mindset as well, it gets really tricky. And then someone says, oh, you know, I'm having this really prolific career as a graphic designer, but actually I'm going to chuck it all in the bin to be an artist on no money. And now they're like, what are you doing? So how do they get around that?
Well, there are other ways of doing it than just like putting a torch to your current income stream and then going to live in like a hut somewhere and make clay models. There's a balance of, you know, you can kind of like turn one down and dial one up. But in terms of like the support system element around it, it's really, really helpful if you do have a supportive environment. Obviously, it's a massive benefit. However, we don't actually need that, because like you said, with a lot of people, especially romantic partners, their main priority, and kind of parents as well probably, is their main priority is for you to be safe, right? And for you to be looked after. So when they come with the doubt of like, really? Or, you know, just it can be just a slight tone in how they talk. You're like, they don't believe in me. I'm a farce. This is not going to work for me. And you take that tone as making it mean something about you. But what's actually, if we can be objective and look at it from the lens of like, why are they saying that? It's just because they're scared for us, right? They don't want us to get hurt. They don't want us to feel disappointment. It's not usually because of lack of a belief in a person. It's the actual projection of that person's limitations on their partner. Right, because a partner may feel like, well, I know I need my job, or I need what I currently have, and therefore that is my model of the world. That is what I see for myself. It's what I see for others. When someone else presents something that opposes that, it's like, you know, it's a retreat, and it's almost like, yeah, you have to reflect and mirror back what you believe to be true when that's not necessarily what is right for the other person. So for a lot of people, it's just about they need to see it to really believe it. So there is potentially a period of time where there is, I know you don't get it. I know you don't see it right now. Stay with me. It's coming, you know, and then it can be the proof is in the pudding then of like, oh, now I get it. I can see how alive you are. I can see how fulfilled you are. I can see how present you are. I can see like, people literally become like reborn and they glow because they are doing the work that is for them. And I think when people that love people see that in the people they love, then it's like, oh, it all makes sense now. And like money naturally kind of flows from that energy, you know, being able to sustain yourself and live the life you want to live. It comes from that place of just being, I mean, aligned is like a bit of a cheesy word, but it comes from that place of just really being aligned in the work you're doing in the world.
So if someone was, I'm interested, if someone came to you and said, I don't know, I'm a graphic designer, or I'm an architect or whatever, but I just, you know, what you said really resonated and I don't feel that I'm in the right path, but I don't know what the right path is, would you be able to help them with finding what it actually is, or would they have to know what, or would it be likely that they know already?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of ways that I work with people. So in the instance of not knowing, like they know something is off, they know something is like, this isn't the juice, this isn't giving me like scratching my itch, but they don't then know what that path is, what I say is you need space and you need play as a urgent priority, because the only reason that we are not knowing where we want to go is because we are filling our heads so much with busyness, hustle, distraction. But like that is a coping mechanism, so we don't feel what we need to feel, right? We kind of like, if I'm just so busy with clients, or I'm so busy with my job, or I'm so busy with my life, I don't actually have to feel and think about why this feels off. But we need to lean into that discomfort of this feels off because, and allow the space around that to become what it needs to become. So I would say that as a doing something on your own task, space and play, like time away from your phone, time away from devices, time away from screens and playing, right? Playing in life, climbing frames, going on swings, just being alive is what is going to help reconnect you to the real version of you. Because that's what I see it as, like, we are each just calcified versions of our own conditioning. So we've basically lived our whole life just gathering these layers of impossibilities, limitations, doubts, fears. And then we've kind of lost the core of like who we were when we were like six, when we're like, I want to be a fire engine, which is something that my daughter has said in the last couple of years. We're just working on how I'm going to coach her through that. I'm not sure how a human becomes a fire engine, but we'll work it out. But yeah, it's about reconnecting to yourself through that spaciousness and through the play. But that is a active, intentional thing that you have to do rather than it being an accident, you know. But I do actually offer people these 2-hour sessions where we do some unconscious mind work, which can kind of accelerate that process with people. And that has been successful for some clients as well. So there is an option to kind of, you know, invest and get this in a more rapid momentum going with it if they really, really struggle to prioritize themselves and create space for what they need to do next. So yeah, I can help people in that sense, but I predominantly tend to work with people over the longer term where they have, like, they know it, it's there, and they're just trying to squash it down, they're trying to deny it, but they know it. And I also, before I wrap on that point, I believe actually everyone does know, in my opinion, they're just choosing to pretend.
When people come to you, does it tend to be a bit later on in life then, or earlier?
Yeah, well, I mean, the people that I speak to in terms of like working together, they would be quite established in their careers and in their businesses. I don't tend to speak to people that are the, not as in like I don't want to speak to people, but I don't tend to
attract
people who are at the early stage of like, what do I want to do with my life? That is something that I used to work or help people with a good few years ago, but it's not something that I necessarily speak to now or help with now. But I do, yeah, it's a kind of part of what I do, but a bit further along the line.
And in terms of your path, so where did the coaching come from? Where did you get the idea to do the coaching?
Yeah, it was an interesting one because I kind of quit my agency life day job in 2013 and kind of went freelance as a designer then, while I was ultimately trying to figure out what I wanted my creative path to be, because I knew that it wasn't going the creative director being on the board kind of route of agencies. Like, I knew I'd reached the end of the path that world was taking me. So I kind of like went on a whole weird hobby few years of like doing an interior design diploma and then going, it's not the thing, and then making clay wedding toppers. And I was kind of just like randomly trying all these things while still designing on a freelance basis. And then I actually created my own greeting cards and like giftware range back in the mid 20 teens. There's not really a name for that decade, is there? The 2010s, the 20 teens. Yeah. Anyway, there needs to be one. But yeah, so I had a range then. And then my daughter arrived in amongst that chapter of my life. And I realized that the business that I built kind of made me a manufacturing plant, where it was just like designing for seasons on loop for retail, doing the trade shows, packing, shipping. And it was just like, I was just this robot. And I was like, okay, this isn't the thing. And through that process, I discovered like the personal development world and really working out like why I kept facing these like limitations and obstacles. And from that point then, it was like, there's such thing as a coach that exists. This is amazing. Completely fell in love with it. And then I moved evolved my business to still produce a product. So I made the Imperfect Life Planner. That was like my first flagship product that meant I could have that as a product, but I didn't have to pack it or ship it or do any of the logistics around it. And I raised over £21,000 on Kickstarter to get that made. That then birthed my most recent business, which actually is properly wrapping up this week. That was The Imperfect Life as a brand, which was a planner, a podcast, a group coaching program. And it's all from that journey of, yeah, discovering what my call was through my own messy, wobbly, imperfect journey. that kind of made this business. And yeah, from that coaching, then I started helping creative business owners. And then it's kind of, I guess, like niched in and got more focused through that process. So that was a very long-winded version of the last kind of like 10 years.
It always is. And I love those stories because they're so interesting, seeing how people have progressed, because they're never linear. It's always some kind of weird. In fact, I was on a networking thing the other day, and I didn't realize we only had 5 minutes. And she asked me how did I get to what I was doing, and I was like, oh, it's a bit of a long story, but I'll tell you anyway.
get the kettle on.
Oh, I knew it. There was 30 seconds left on our section. She hadn't said anything. I was like, oh my gosh, I've hugged the horse.
And what's your name?
Oh my gosh, you need to get some time in there. I told you it was a long story, but I think there always is some kind of reason that things happen. It's like when you look back and you can see why everything happened, but at the time it just seems so random. I mean, I was a fitness instructor for a while. I worked as a fitness instructor, and that to people will seem random, but now when I look back, I can see the skills that I've got from that role that I'm using now, which surprised people, but because I was presenting and I was leading classes. So and so I find that whole kind of aspect of a business's journey so fascinating, but not just a business, but the business person's journey, I guess, and how they've had to change and evolve and move through the different seasons. So I think everybody's got those long journeys. And I think I resisted the mindset work for a long, long time, and then I found it a few years ago and was like, oh my gosh, where has this been all my life?
It does make a noise when you're like, I can actually change what I think. That's cool.
it's not as easy as that, though. That's what I was going to come on to next. So it's amazing, and the most amazing thing ever when you can realize that, you know, you can have an influence over the way you think and completely change your life. But it's not always as easy to do as you may think. So what would your top tip be, I guess, for kind of first of all discovering what's going on in your mind? Because that's a whole that's a whole thing on its own. And when you've discovered what's going on in your mind, how can you influence and change that, I guess?
I think one of the biggest learnings, I think, that impacted how my mindset work has evolved is recognizing there is conscious mind work to do, the work that you can sit there and really think about it of, okay, so what am I feeling right now? What is the story that comes up in my head? Let's write that down. And is this story true? And kind of consciously work through what feels like a limitation or a block or that kind of thing. But there's also so much unconscious mind work to do that was like a whole unraveling of, oh, that makes sense. Because when we're not doing the unconscious mind work alongside the conscious mind work, it's almost like it's like someone holding you back by the shoulders as you're trying to move forward. It's like an extra weight that it doesn't prevent progress or growth, but it does massively hold it back and slow it down. And what it also then does is when you do that alongside the conscious work, it can rapidly accelerate the transformations, like real massive breakthrough shifts of. And I should kind of rewind a little bit and just explain what unconscious mind work is. So when I kind of mentioned that I see people as these like calcified layers of limitations and conditioning and self-doubt and all those kind of things that we've picked up from society, from teachers, from people that we care about, from TV, from everything, right? All these influences we have of how we see the world, those calcified layers are basically stored in our unconscious mind. So the mind that we are not aware is really there, and what it's doing has all these prescriptions of what is true, what it believes to be true, should I say. So it's an internal belief system that has been constructed through our own unconscious choices at different events in our lives. So what is really important to recognize is, as much as it's an unconscious choice, say, then, you know, there might have been some experience when you're like 7 where a teacher may have said, oh, you've done like the wrong color there or something, or that's you've gone over the lines or something where you've had some kind of critique, and how that's been absorbed is you're not good enough to be the best at that, and therefore store that information. Right. So protect yourself from hearing that ever again, and don't try in some way, shape, or form. And so what I want to kind of reaffirm with this is, as much as it was an unconscious thing, you didn't realize that that was the decision that was made or the belief that was implanted, it was still a thing that you chose to do. And therefore, it is something you can unchoose when you become aware of it. So all of it is within our control. And that's the really important part of the unconscious versus conscious mind work. And there are loads of ways to do, like hypnosis is a really great way to work on the unconscious stuff. There is also a lot of techniques in the, I don't even heard of timeline therapy. That's another modality that I work in, where it's a really crazy, weird, but awesome way to kind of jet wash like a patio of like negative emotions from your past, like the unnecessary, the unwarranted, the inappropriate negative emotions, and like clean them, like remove them. It's crazy powerful, but like those kind of things are really helpful in accelerating the journey. So I work with people in both conscious and unconscious realms, if you will, because that's what gets the most rapid results, like I say. So yeah, it's not easy. It's not like a switch of, you know, I can just, oh, I've written that down. Awesome. That no longer bothers me, because these are beliefs that have been repeated in our mind for decades. So it feels factually true. It's like you're going to say, well, that's just how it works. That's just how the world is. But it's not, because some people aren't facing that, you know. So if it's not 100% true for 100% of people 100% of the time, it's a belief we can work with.
Yeah. And a good indicator, I think, is when you sometimes you see somebody else doing something and you think, oh, I'd love to do that, but whenever I do it, it never works, and they must have some kind of magic unicorn because they always can do it and I can never do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, and sometimes you do feel like that. And I think it's also important to say that it's an ongoing process, I think, as well, because I think you can fall into that trap of you do a load of work on your mindset and you're like, oh, good, I've done with that now. That's gone. That's in the bin. Let's move on. And then a year later, you start like, oh, those little doubts start wiggling back in. And you're like, oh, yeah. You start to realize that you should be doing that all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And what's interesting, I found after really being immersed in this space for a few years, is that the more work you do, the slipperier and the more sophisticated the obstacles become, or the limitations are, because you're like, you're not even realizing it's that thing that you thought you'd move past a few years ago, and it's come through in a different shape and a different size. You're not recognizing it. It's like, ha, stealth, I've made it back in. She's not doing the thing anymore. So it's I find they do get more sophisticated the more work you do, but then equally it's more and more satisfying the more shifts that you make, and you're like, ah, I got you. But equally, all of it is from love, right? All of it is there,
yeah,
because it's trying to keep us safe. It's not about like being against yourself or sabotaging yourself. I really don't like that as a concept or a phrase. It's protection, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I've heard someone say once that you have to, if you hear that negative voice, then don't ignore it. Just say to it, you know, it's okay, we're safe. You can go, and it will really help. And what I'm really interested as well is mindset and working in the creative industry, because I'm not sure that I've seen that much until recently about mindset work being universally accepted in the creative industry. Would you agree with that?
Yes, well, a lot of people that I speak to in the creative space haven't experienced coaching before, whereas obviously in the business world, which where I have spent a lot of time, it's a lot more frequent. Most people are going, okay, I've finished with that coach, I want to go for a new coach. And they're working with different coaches to solve and move through different challenges. So I do agree that it seems less common, but that's because I've had the experience of how common it is in the business world. However, I think it is equally as needed in the creative world as it is in the entrepreneurial business world, because it's essentially the same thing that is happening. Like, you're trying to create things from nothing. And there are a bajillion obstacles and mindset hurdles that are going to try and stop you from doing that, because your unconscious mind loves you and it wants to make sure that you last. It doesn't want you like running out and being dead, because that's what it thinks is happening. Like, this is danger. You're going to get eaten by a tiger. Shut this down. It's kind of got this weird primeval like concept of what world we live in. But yeah, it's like, in fact, for some elements, I think the creativity and mindset thing is even more intertwined than business and mindset, because you are so much using the depths of your mind to create all the time. You are all constantly working through challenges in the creative process. And there's so many like funny reels and memes that go around about, this is the creative process. Oh, here's a good idea. Oh, this is good. Oh, this is awful. Oh, I'm awful. This is a disaster. Oh, hang on. I think there's something. Is this something? I think this might be something. And it's this like constant like wave of like losing your mind, thinking, I'm awful. This is terrible. This sucks so bad. To then, I think this might be life-changing. This might change the world. Like dips and troughs, or peaks and troughs. So yeah, I think personally, from being on both sides of the coin of entrepreneur, business owner, creative, knowing so much about how the mind works, it's like, it's deep. It's deep in there, babes.
What's the one thing then that people can take away from this podcast now to work on their mindset? What one thing can they do to go away, to work on their mindset and kind of move in the right direction towards their creative calling?
That's a great question. I think it does depend on where they are in that process. So for what we're kind of speaking about earlier, the people who are kind of more seeking the clarity piece, it's definitely about creating space and creating play as an intentional act, right? Making it a priority, making it a non-negotiable part of how you structure your week, because without giving yourself that mind clutter space, it's really hard to access like what is the real you inside calling you towards doing. I think if you are in the space of like, I kind of know what I want to do, but I don't really see how I can get myself there, you're more looking for like the path of how to get there. I would really consider thinking about, it's less about the perfection of trying to get everything right from the place that you're in now moving forward. Start thinking about where you want to be and working like backwards, like reverse engineer your way from it, rather than trying to see it from the limitations that you're in outwards, if that makes sense. And it's kind of like you were saying, where we were kind of talking about, is this, how do you go from having this career that's paying your bills to like going off in a hut and making clay models? Like, let's not think about, okay, so if I'm making clay models, what would be like 6 months before that? You know, would I be just creating a space in my home for a bit of messy clay play type of thing, you know, or like thinking about what needs to happen for that to happen from that point backwards, rather than from where I am now, I'm so busy, blah, blah, blah. Like, you just think of all the things, all the reasons why you can't, and you get caught in this perfection loop. Think about it from the end backwards. And then for people who are like, I kind of know how to get there, I definitely know what I want to do, I just don't believe in myself at all, it's about an embodiment thing. So really connecting with, and I think visualization is a really powerful tool to connect with this as on a daily basis. Like, literally sitting for 5 minutes with your eyes closed, doing some like steady breathing and just picturing yourself as the person who has what it is that you want, and just like connecting to their energy, connecting to how they are conducting themselves, moving about, living their life, and start embodying that in the now. Like, are they running around like a blue ass fly? Are they putting everything else ahead of themselves? Are they prioritizing their boss or their kind of like aggy clients? Or are they actually saying, do you know what? This client is draining the bejesus out of me and I'm going to step away from this contract. You know, and they're kind of making more decisions that are about themselves and the vision that they have for themselves, rather than getting stuck in the moment of the present stresses of things. So there's like three different tiers of it, I think. And those would be the three different ways that I'd be like, this is the best use of your time.
Great tips. Awesome. Great practical tips. We like that. You mentioned at the start that your kind of next venture is, well, winding down what was your old business and then starting your illustration business. So tell us a bit more about what your kind of next steps are.
Yeah, so I'm kind of just in hopefully the final stage. It feels like it's dragging on a little bit through my own, like having to navigate a few or spinning a few plates. But I am launching the Kerry Lyons Studio, which is studio, just added a studio on my name, is going to be a homeware brand essentially. So predominantly it's going to be a wallpaper range, wallpaper studio, but very close to adding a few other little bits and bobs to that. So there's a more cohesive like range rather than just being wallpapers, but wallpapers is definitely happening. And yeah, it's basically where I'm getting to really play with my illustration or love for illustration and, you know, have a real practical application of that in an area and an industry that I'm obsessed with. Like the interior industries has been something that's just been on my heart since I was a kid. My dad's an architect, so I've always been around that space of like seeing spaces be built from like the ground up. And yeah, I cannot wait to get started and get kind of into that, because I know it's an industry from the trade shows that I used to do. It's a really special kind of industry to kind of be a part of. So I'm really looking forward to just like shooing my elbow in there again. Hi, I'm in here now, and trying to make myself a name, a space in that kind of industry. So that's my personal creative pursuit in amongst my coaching the creatives of the future.
That's so exciting. And I'd love, actually, I'd be interested. I'm really curious to know if you have already, I'm guessing the answer is going to be yes, if you have already visualized your wallpapers on in the homes of people and in magazines and things like that.
God, yes.
Been doing visualizations of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I have like a really clear picture of the type of property that the paper is going to really, really suit. So yeah, I've got it. Yeah. Of course I have. It's like crystal clear. I could just switch it on right now.
There you go. See, that's so if people want to find more about you and what you do, where can they find you, Kerry?
I am online at kerrylyons.com. That is my kind of creative coaching website. My studio is going to be studio.kerrylyons.com, but that's not quite live just yet. On Instagram, I'm actually just about to change my handle over, and I'm hoping it's going to still be contained by the time I do it on Friday. So I'm going to be Kerry Lyons. That's gonna be my Instagram handle at the moment. It's Kerry Lyons Co. And yeah, well, if you go to the website kerrylyons.com, my social links are going to be updated there. So I'm generally on Instagram most of the time. I'm also on LinkedIn at I Am Kerry Lyons. So yeah, that's kind of where I dart around: Instagram, LinkedIn, website. Come and say hi if anything I've said has poked a few like, oh, ow, okay, stop attacking me, Kerry. If that's happened, yeah, let's have a chat. Be nice to speak to anyone that feels triggered, basically. Because being triggered is a good thing a lot of the time.
Well, thank you so much. Give me so much food for thought.
Thank you. And I'm going to get you on stage, yeah, Victoria. You just watch.
Thank you so much for listening to Creative Slurp. I hope it's inspired you to try something new in your business. If you loved it, please take the time to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you soon, and go and chase your biggest creative business dreams. You can do it.